Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The people, and I say it this way because I don't know who they were exactly, who devised the church calendar long ago, well, they did so in such a way so that we don't just celebrate Christmas December 25th and then forget about everything. First, we have the penitential season of Advent that builds up to our Lord's coming in flesh, born of the Virgin Mary. And then we have the season of Christmas, Christmas 1, first Sunday after Christmas. And today would be the second Sunday after Christmas, or the 12th day, if you will, of Christmas. And then we have the season of Epiphany that follows afterward. And the season of Epiphany teaches us to, continue in the process of the Sundays after Christmas of seeing how people respond to this gift of Jesus. Now, it's interesting to note that the Feast of the Epiphany that we're celebrating today, because it falls tomorrow and we don't have Monday services, right? The Feast of the Lord's Epiphany has been celebrated by the church on January 6th since around 361 AD. It is also known as a theophany, literally God shining. It is God's manifestation to man in a tangible way. And so the word epiphany itself simply means to reveal or to manifest. On this feast day, the Western Church commemorates the coming of the wise men, the Magi, to the infant Jesus, therefore making the epiphany the first manifestation of the Christ child to the Gentiles. January 6th is also the 12th, January 6th is also the beginning of that epiphany season as we celebrate this babe's birth in Bethlehem. And yet, by the time the wise men arrive, he's probably closer to 2 years of age than he is to newborn status. The wise men are an interesting lot because they probably came from Persia or Babylon or Arabia. Their kind of wisdom was not always God-pleasing, as they were, likely pagan astrologers. Yet God had prepared them for this day through the Babylonian captivity that none of the Israelites really wanted to participate in. But when Babylon captured Israel and took their leading artisans and theologians and took them up to Babylon and forced them to live there, you have such accounts of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, of which the children know so well because he was in a lion's den and God delivered him. And yet Daniel was faithful in teaching. And also the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who also teach in Babylon about the word of God. And no doubt, while they were in Babylon, they taught about the coming of the Christ, probably mentioning the star as mentioned in Numbers chapter 24. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Seth. You see, this prophecy would have been what would have directed them to the star that they noticed, that they followed, that they led them all the way to Jerusalem. And now, God is using Herod and the great, Herod the Great and the chief priests and scribes to proclaim the location of the Christ child that the prophet Micah had prophesied 700 years earlier. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. And then the text sets in contrast for us the wise men and the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, and Herod the Great even, who, as you know, was a Sadducee and also the ruler in that area. You see, Herod and the priests and the scribes, who were the keepers of the Word of God, if you will, were not ones who were searching it. They were not searching the heavens and to look for a light of a star for the guidance and direction. Moreover, while they were keepers and interpreters of that word, they weren't looking to it as a light and a guidance and direction. Thus, when the wise men arrive in Jerusalem, and they come to the king's palace because, well, he's born king of the Jews, certainly he would have some connection to the palace in the royal city, they must have thought Herod, well, an interesting fellow not to be concerned about this. But Herod, you see, remembered at that point, and he sought the prophecy quickly, the answer from the scribes. They inquired, where is this child to be born? And so the scribes and the priest, they knew exactly where to look in Micah, but they didn't bother to go look. When Herod finally took interest and sought to find the child, it wasn't out of fear, love, and trust in God and his word. It was rather out of fear, hate, and jealousy for his throne and for the one he believed that was a threat, that had been prophesied to be a threat to his throne. Herod didn't want to come to worship, come and worship the newborn king. He wanted to come and murder him. The sad thing is we're not always willing to admit this, but our sinful nature will lie about its desire to worship Jesus just like Herod. As we too join our desires to him, and we seek to kill our Lord, we do this not with sword and spear, but with how we seek to live our lives. When we seek to live by our own standards and not God's. When we refuse to submit to the word of God, choosing only to love God and our neighbor when that love doesn't interfere with loving ourselves. Why our sinful wants and desires even rob us of the joys of service. Why else are there so many people who hate their vocations in this life? Why is the great gift that God has given to mothers and fathers, fatherhood and motherhood, so belittled by our culture today? Often, our willingness to serve someone else is only out of self-interest and guilty conscience, thus turning our actual God-pleasing service to our neighbor into some kind of penance. And trust me, either motivation, willing to serve only out of self-interest or willing to serve out of penance, neither motivation is God-pleasing, as they can only produce one of two things: a guilty conscience that leads to despair, which doubts and denies that the Savior came for them, or a self-righteous conscience which has absolutely no need for this Savior King. Only through God-given repentant faith will we strive to be like the wise men. For through faith, we have been guided to the place where we might bow down and worship our Savior King. Not by a star in the sky, but by the working of the Holy Spirit in and through the Word. Spoken by godly parents or grandparents or believing co-workers and friends, and hopefully by faithful pastors. For when the word of God is proclaimed, the same Spirit by whom the Son of God became a child in the virgin's womb now works in us to create faith and makes us sons and daughters of God. This is why we must never divorce faith from the word of God. For when faith and the word are separated, then we join ourselves with Herod once again, becoming greatly disturbed when our crowns are threatened. The Advent call continues. The message of John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is still ringing in our ears. This newly born king didn't come to abolish the law. He came rather to fulfill it for the people who sit in darkness. And we confess today that that's us. That we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by the things we have done, by the things we have left undone. We have been crushed by the law. We have been killed by it. And if this has happened, please hear the gospel. Your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you in Christ Jesus. This babe of Bethlehem has redeemed you and redeemed me for life in it everlasting. his life, his suffering, and his death have paid for our sins. Death could not hold him, and it cannot hold those who are joined to him. Being born then from above by the Holy Spirit through water and word, our baptism is its own Christmas and Easter celebration all wrapped up in one day, giving us new birth through the same Spirit, working on the hearts of all the baptized to bring them to faith, to raise that damn dead sinner to life in it everlasting. This is why when we come to worship, we confess our faith not just by confessing the creed, but by confessing our sinfulness, by confessing what we have done and left undone. For the Christian can never outgrow the need for Jesus, never outgrow the need for forgiveness, never outgrow salvation by grace through faith on account of Christ. And so, like the Magi of old, let us continue to go to God's house and worship the King. Let us come and worship our Lord, bringing gifts of a broken and contrite heart, only to receive the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation in return. The gifts the wise men bring, well, I know we spend a lot of time talking about them. They can be seen as symbolic, sure. Gold, fit for a king. Right? And Jesus is our King. And it's also an answer to a prayer before Joseph and Mary even know to speak the prayer, as it provides for the financially poor Joseph and Mary the funds that they need to escape to Egypt that very night. The incense is a gift fit for a priest. It is the gift that the priest use. And Jesus, as our high priest, still intercedes on our behalf for the sins of the whole world. As the infant priest is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world for us. And finally, the gift of myrrh. It's an aromatic gum or oil used, among other things, for the readying of a body for a burial. And while this babe, the Lamb of God, came to die, death could not hold him. He did not stay dead. And for those who are joined to him, neither will they. This is good news for us. The star that causes us to rejoice with exceedingly great joy is the good news that Christ has overcome all for us. Right here at the altar today is your very own Bethlehem. As you receive in with and under the bread and wine, the very body and blood of Jesus. Right here is your Epiphany. And so today, Jesus manifests himself to you personally through word and sacrament. For our King comes to receive you, to serve you, to forgive you, to wash you, to feed you, and to send you out reflecting his light to this world that is in darkness, the world that he died to save. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.